And right now I'm very happy to welcome to our program Pia Gallegos, a longtime civil rights lawyer and New Mexico activist, who's been part of a four-person task force that wrote a recent analysis of the status of the Democratic Party after their historic loss in 2016 during the presidential and congressional elections. Pia, thank you so much for making time to join us tonight.
You're very welcome, Scott.
So tell us a bit about this report. It's actually making a splash around the country, and we're very fortunate to have you here tonight to talk about it. But tell us about this report titled Autopsy, the Democratic Party in Crisis. How did you come to participate in writing this report, and what was the mission going in?
Well, the Democratic Party itself did not do a self-analysis or a critique regarding its failures of how and why it lost the presidential election in 2016. And oftentimes a party does that when it loses a major election. And it didn't do that, and if it did it, it didn't publicize it. And so a group of us took it upon ourselves under the leadership of Norman Solomon to do this report. And so we looked at various factors that failed within the Democratic Party, and we looked at corporate power and the party, and we looked at race, and we looked at youth vote, and we looked at social movements, and we looked at democracy or the failure of democracy within the party, and war and the party. And we divided the report into sections like that and showed how the Democratic Party has continuously, in all of these areas, failed to address the concerns of its constituencies in these areas, and instead has moved more to the right, and it has become almost indistinguishable to the general public in some cases from the Republican Party. And so because people are getting poorer with the growing disparity of wealth, we don't have a party right now in the Democratic Party that formulates policies that speak to us, that address our material needs as a working class people, as people of color, as young people, as people who have family dying in wars abroad. And so we just looked at that meticulously and systematically, and we looked at the data, and that's what we did on this report.
Now, before we get to the conclusions, I'm wondering, what kind of response do you see within the Democratic Party to the loss in 2016? And certainly a lot of focus these days on the Russia investigation and, you know, some external factors that may or may not have played a role in that election defeat. But certainly, I think your report and other analysis will speak to the failures of the Clinton campaign and the Democrats in general to articulate a positive vision for the country, as opposed to just hammering away on Trump's many flaws. But maybe you could talk about a little bit about what you see in terms of the leadership of the Democratic Party right now and following the election defeat.
Right. Well, to address what you're talking about in terms of Russian involvement in the election and also the voter suppression laws that have been going through many of the states, those are factors that did contribute to the defeat of Hillary Clinton for president. But our report is specifically aimed at looking at the Democratic Party itself and what it failed to do. And with regard to the reception that this report is getting among mainstream or among Democrats, I am looking in the press with two different reactions. And people who are looking to change the Democratic Party to make it more responsive to the economic realities are poring over this report and getting involved in the Democratic Party to on the, both on the precinct level, which is the lowest neighborhood level of the Democratic Party, the ward level, county level, state level, and the national level, to try to get more people involved and to get the party hierarchy to more responsive. And then I also see a lot of reaction from the more establishment Democrats, the ones who have had to get a lot of corporate money in order to get elected. And those people have been really shutting their eyes to the reality of the failures of the Democratic Party to the working class. And those people are saying, you know, all we have to do is just tweak the messaging, and the response has been very lukewarm and lame, and they really reject the analysis. I'm sorry to say, you know, that there's really two wings to the Democratic Party, and we see this even with the head of the Democratic Party right now, Tom Perez. He's the head of the DNC, and he's just acted recently to purge the DNC of some of the most progressive members of the DNC, because he's allowed to appoint people and to depose people from their posts. And so he's brought in a whole bunch of political operatives and lobbyists, corporate lobbyists, as members of the DNC, who will have superdelegate status, which means that they will be able to vote for a presidential candidate without regard to the pledged delegates that are required on every state level through the Electoral College. So as flawed as the Electoral College is in not allowing a popular vote to determine who's going to be president, the Democratic Party has superimposed on top of that flawed scheme this idea of superdelegates, who are people who are not responsive to the vote at all, who have no obligation to vote the will of the people, but who can vote the will of their corporate sponsors. And so we have superdelegates, and most of the superdelegates are elected people or who have been elected within the Democratic Party, state legislators, state representatives, state governors who are in the Democratic Party, presidents if they're in the Democratic Party, ex-presidents if they're in the Democratic Party, ex-vice presidents. Those are all superdelegates. But Perez gets to also nominate his own superdelegates, and he has chosen corporate operatives and corporate lobbyists. So the Democratic Party is so far away from the will of the people and the realities of poor people who are struggling and students who are burdened by, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of dollars of student debt. And so we do have a fractious Democratic Party here, but fortunately, you know, the people who are working in the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party, the ones who are working on the level of the neighborhoods, and, you know, we're the ones who are right now trying to get the elected Democrats to be accountable, to be held accountable to what it is our real needs on the level of neighborhoods and working class people.
Thank you for that. We're speaking with Pia Gallegos, a longtime civil rights lawyer and New Mexico activist, and one of four co-authors of a brand new report on the condition of the Democratic Party after the 2016 presidential campaign loss, and it's titled Autopsy: The Democratic Party in Crisis. Pia, I wanted to ask you about the competition we saw last year for the leadership of the Democratic National Committee. And Tom Perez, as you said, is leading. He won a vote among representatives that put him in charge of the DNC. But he was running against a progressive party, Progressive Party activist, Keith Ellison from Minnesota. And they gave him a deputy director status, I believe, after he lost the vote, narrowly lost the vote. And did that move on the part of Perez and the Democrats lead you to believe they may be moving for reconciliation and being open to new ideas from the progressive activist side of the party?
Well, I wish, you know, but first of all, the fact that the party leadership voted for Perez instead of Ellison, right there, that's bad news. And then, you know, as much hope as we put in Perez, you know, and his words that and overtures to try to reconcile the factions that occurred during the primary, you know, the like I was just saying, the recent moves in how he is getting rid of some of the progressives and putting in a lot of corporate lobbyists, that shows that he's embedded in the establishment and that he's not willing to change, and that we're going to have to work really hard to overturn the culture of the Democratic Party. And just recently, Ellison wrote an op-ed and said that we need to be looking at progressives, and we need to be listening to progressives and listening to social movements within the party and paying attention to people of color, and that that is where the Democratic Party is going to be able to get its voters excited again, because people of color and young people stayed at home. These are the two areas that the Democratic Party takes for granted. They went after the white suburban vote, and they take for granted that we're going to always vote for them. And what happened was black women, young blacks, all blacks as a group, all Latinos as a group, and young people as a group, they just stayed home. They didn't vote for Trump, but they stayed home. And meanwhile, the white voters went from Obama, having voted for Obama in 2012, to having voted for Trump in 2016. Now, why did all of that happen? Why did black voters stay home? Why did Latino voters stay home? Why did white working class people switch from Obama to Trump? It's because there's not an enthusiastic policies coming from the Democratic Party that speak to us, that say, you know, we're for public free education. We're for healthcare as a right. Instead, Hillary talked about healthcare as a right to affordable healthcare. What does that mean, affordable healthcare? What, can't you just have healthcare? Why isn't healthcare a right? And that she wanted to the Affordable Care Act, instead of just saying everybody has a right to health care. Well, those kind of watered-down messages are to placate the corporate class, okay? That's what she's doing with those kind of messages, instead of letting us know that she's for us. Like, for example, she didn't, you know, we had the Dakota Access Pipeline being protested by the Sioux tribe and a lot of tribes in Dakota. And instead of coming squarely down in their favor and against the pipeline, she didn't address it. She refused to address it. So what was the message given to Native Americans? Mm-hmm. That their vote was going to be taken for granted too. Didn't matter what she said or didn't say. The Black Lives Matter movement was in huge activity during that time, and that energy from that movement was not harnessed, by Clinton, and not respected in the way that it should have been in the perception of the black activists who were in the middle of it, or of many of those black activists. And so we have a party that takes for granted the people of color vote and the young people vote. Mm-hmm. And then those are the people who stayed home.
Well, Pia, I'm going to have you maybe just reiterate some of the points you just raised, the important points you just spoke about, in that I wanted you to run down, could you run down for us some of the conclusions and recommendations that this autopsy report that you helped write have brought to the table, hoping to convince the Democrats to change direction?
Conclusions and recommendations are at the beginning of the report. One of the major suggestions is to end the superdelegates, because the superdelegates are undemocratic by their very nature. And you can't have a party that is perceived to not care about the people in the party. And there was a lawsuit brought shortly after the election of 2016 by Bernie donors, DNC donors, and Democratic Party members against the DNC. Where the plaintiffs claimed in federal court the DNC is violating its own charter, because the DNC charter says that it will be even-handed between the primary presidential candidates, and it wasn't even-handed. It gave a lot of advantage to Clinton, and that I could discuss also. But during the proceedings of that lawsuit, the attorneys for the Democratic Party said that they could go to back rooms and smoke cigars and choose the presidential candidate that way if they wanted to. And so that is the type of attitude that we have coming from the Democratic Party, that they don't really care about the Democratic voters. And so we have an inherently undemocratic superdelegate system. And then we have this attitude that they don't care about us. So the other thing is that was a recommendation is that there are social movements, and that such as like the Occupy movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Dakota Access Pipeline movement, and the ebb and flow of these social movements offer a way to lift the Democratic Party candidates. If the party can embrace those movements and understand what the demands of those movements are and adopt them as their own, instead what the Democratic Party does is it uses the movements to get votes, but not or to try to use movement to get votes. Like one example was like during the Flint, Michigan water crisis, which still hasn't resolved yet, Clinton flew in. And I can only presume that she had good intentions. I don't know what her intentions were, but I'm sure there must have been good intentions and that she intended to do some good work in that area. But the population is so cynical now of the way that candidates treat them that there's a lot of press about, we don't want her just to fly in here and fly out of here without just so that she can make an appearance and get some votes. You know, go back and just work for us if you want to, but we don't want to see you here just so that you can have a photo op. And so that's that kind of cynicism toward people who are on the ground trying to make a real difference in their struggle of their lives, we're not being heard. And so one of the recommendations of the report is to embrace these social movements, not just to use them to get votes.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, I wanted to go back, if I could, Pia, just to reiterate the point you raised earlier, and that is among the recommendations in this report is to stop chasing Republican voters and focus more on the base of the Democratic Party that's been loyal and voting with Democrats for many years now. And that includes young people, people of color, working class people who've drifted away from the party. And your feeling, the feeling expressed in this report, was that there wasn't enough resources dedicated to mobilizing and exciting that base. Maybe you can expand on that for us.
Yeah. So, there is a Hispanic engagement director of the Democratic National Committee, and in 2014 it was Albert Morales. I don't know if he's still the Hispanic engagement director or not. But in 2014, before the election, he proposed a $3 million plan to raise voter turnout in Arizona, Colorado, Florida, New Mexico, where I'm from, and Texas. And this is considered by electoral campaign measures a meager cost. And yet the DNC nixed the plan. And Morales said, "I just asked for what I was put up for what I needed. I ended up getting closer to 300,000, and it all went to radio. It was just pitiful." And that shows that not only are the policies miserably inadequate to meet the social demands of this growing disparity of wealth and how it affects the poorest of the people or even the what's called the middle class, but the Democratic Party didn't even spend the money on outreach, and the Clinton's campaign didn't hire enough Latino consultants who had experience working within the communities that the outreach efforts were meant to target. They hired mostly white consultants or almost all white consultants with hardly any people of color consultants. And so they think that they're going to cover the black communities and the Latino and the Native American communities by through their algorithms or whatever, but they're not listening to the activists that are on the ground. There was one mother of a deceased person, a black boy who had been killed by police officers, and the Clinton campaign had reached out to her and asked her to speak at the convention. And she said, "I'm not going to speak at that convention because I'm not going to go out there and pretend that I support somebody who hasn't done enough for me. I don't want a little bit of attention. I want this to have a lot of attention." And so the people, you know, from Black Lives Matter, as much as she represented it themselves, don't feel like the candidates are paying enough attention to the social movements. And so what you got to do is you got to go into the communities and find the people who are working with the healthcare issues, with the education issues, with the opioid abuse issues, with the daycare issues for preschool children, whatever they're working on. Those are the people that you bring into the campaign, and you listen to them, and you follow them. You don't give them some lip service and create your own agenda that is palatable to your corporate interests who are funding your campaign.
Pia, we only have a minute left, and I would just ask you one last question. A lot of pundits look at the Democratic Party these days, and they see this ongoing conflict between the forces that supported Hillary Clinton and those that supported Senator Bernie Sanders. Are you concerned that this conflict, if it continues on within the party, will detract from any gains that the Democrats could make as a party in the upcoming critical 2018 election, given the stakes are so high, with all the rollbacks of progressive policies, with the Trump administration in the White House and Republicans controlling Congress?
It is absolutely essential for the Democrats to get elected to be taking care of the people of color and the youth vote and listening to their voices. And that's how we're going to bring them back. If we could pay attention to the black communities and the Native American communities and the Latino communities and bring them back to vote, that's how we're going to win elections here. And so we're doing the only thing that can be done to get the Democratic Party in power again, which is to go to those neglected communities. That's the only way we're going to win.
Thank you, Pia. Lastly, how can people get a hold of this report? Our listeners who have their interest piqued, how can they find the report?
DemocraticAutopsy.org.
Very simple. Thank you so much, Pia. I appreciate you making time for us and your hard work on this report. I hope a lot of our listeners will check it out. It's called DemocraticAutopsy.org?
Yes.
DemocraticAutopsy.org. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much again, Pia. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're so welcome, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Pia Gallegos, civil rights lawyer and New Mexico activist and co-author of this Autopsy, the Democratic Party in Crisis report.